1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25, picking up there. Now concerning virgins. So everyone else can fall asleep that's not one. I'm paying attention if you are one. Now concerning virgins. I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. To be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. He's going to talk about remaining in the state that you are when he became born again. He also talks about it's okay to get married too. And he's going to mention in a few different places here that this isn't about making some type of New Testament rules. He's not engaging that. What he's doing is he's answering a lot of questions that came at him. He received a lot of questions via messenger in a different place. All this stuff is going on in Corinth. He was aware of the sin that was going on. They were suing each other and all these different things and all these questions coming up too. And people are having the normal questions of life and the normal things. They're getting saved. They're coming to know the Lord Jesus, and they're in the middle of maybe engaged with someone, or they're single and they're wondering about what does this mean now, and that kind of thing. So he's answering that. That's the context of what's going on there. It's not meant to be the doctrine going forward for the church, you know, thou shalt not or thou shalt kind of thing. It's talking about these things. It's bringing them up. It's challenging you to look at them from different angles. And that's the idea here, to get out of your own way, as Roger was saying, and to get the mind of Christ on these things. Art thou bound unto a wife? So you came to be a believer, or you're already married. Seek not to be loosed. Some were doing that. So I'm sure some of the questions were, like, I got saved, she didn't. Does that mean I can finally get rid of her? Or, you know, the opposite, I can get rid of him. You know, and you know how people are. And that's, is this my escape card? Get out of jail free now that I'm a Christian? And he's saying, no, that's not what it's about. He says, don't seek to change everything and turn your whole life upside down because you came to know Jesus Christ. You're just given a different vision for everything now. So don't copy what everybody else is doing. Start following the Lord. Verse 28, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hasn't sinned. There's still God's commandment from way back in Genesis. It's still God's decree. Still his principle that a man and woman should be married and be fruitful and fill the earth to subdue and take domain over it. We know that we struggle against that now because of the fall. Every creature on this earth is groaning because of that. The whole creation groans for the redemption of the earth. So everything is under that sway. So of course you have not sinned. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Just assuming that getting married is the best thing isn't a great assumption either. He wants you to stop and look. I am a new creature in Christ. Follow Jesus in this matter. Yeah, that's okay. It's not sin. There's principles there. It's biblical and all this. But hear the voice of the Lord. Here's the thing he wants you to bring into the thought process, into your prayer, into your understanding, and to be enlightened in this particular aspect, is that the time is short. To have that understanding that time is short. Who's ever heard of a story of somebody getting married and they got diagnosed with something during their engagement and they, 6 months to live and they decided to get married anyway? Or somebody was already diagnosed and they decided to get married knowing that. Has anybody ever heard of those stories kind of thing? And they even have the wedding in the hospital. You've heard of it? Okay. Jeremy Kemp with his... First wife, okay. He just had a concert recently, didn't he? You guys won't know. Where are you thinking of?
Believer's Chapel?
Did you go?
I used to go there.
So time is short. In the context of all of our realities, all of us are only here for a short period of time compared to eternity. So we think it's crazy somebody, or we think it's, wow, that's pretty wild, that's pretty deep, that somebody's getting married when they only have a few months to live, and well, you look at all of us and it's really the same case. You know, we're only here for a really short time. And so we need to understand that in the context of eternity, that's the framework that we need to look at things. that's part of our visionary changes as we come to know the Lord and start walking after Him, is that time is short on this earth. And time is short also in the sense that Jesus could come back anytime. He could come back anytime. So we have that expectation. I think every generation in the church, including the first generation here, when they put the Bible together, they understood that and they kept this context here, just like it is. That feeling like He could come anytime. You know, 100 years later, they put the Bible together, 150 or whatever, after, you know, these parchments were written, and they still preserve that. They still preserve that sense of urgency, like it's just going to happen. And they didn't take that out like, oh, those guys were, they didn't really understand, you know, the church is going to be here for 2,000 years and all this. No, that's part of our life in Christ, is that sense of urgency, that sense of time being short, whether it's just our life or that Jesus' possibility of His coming is so real and so there. We feel as each generation gets closer to it, we just feel that the sense getting more intense, especially when things line up prophetically. And those are some of the things, James, you can share with your buddies at school there. You know, just on the other side of evolution, the other side of the coin is the future. The things that have been prophesied that have been fulfilled. So it's not just our origins, it's also our destination. God is coming. He's going to roll up the earth and the heavens like a scroll. And He's set things in place that we could know that these things are going to happen. One of the key things is the birth of Israel. Nowhere. The scientists, the sociologists, the paleontologists, the ologists, whatever ologists, all over the place say Israel, the Jewish people as a nation, is a phenomenon. They can't explain it. How do you disperse a people through the world and preserve their culture and call them back more than 2,000 years later? Even when Jesus walked during that time in Israel, they were occupied by Rome. They hadn't had their own nation for hundreds of years. They were under occupation at that time. That's why He went to Pontius Pilate and Herod and so forth. The Roman rule was there. And take a seemingly weak situation like that. They were trounced on. They were stepped on. They burnt the temple in 70 AD as Jesus predicted. That was one of the prophetic things. Now they have the Wailing Wall there, the remnants of that. That was prophesied by Jesus. Tear down this temple, I'll rebuild it. Temple would be destroyed. The coming temple that they're working on, another prophetic thing. The third temple is being worked on. Yeah, he's right straight up from Israel.
It might have been him. You know, the name sounds familiar now that you say that. I can't remember who it was. It was somebody, though. Somebody important in Israel.
He seems to get some inside info.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Awesome. So those are very exciting things. Of course, the third temple in this case isn't going to be used initially in friendly ways. The Antichrist is going to declare himself to be God in that, and that's when the Jews are going to flee. They're going to be, whoops, this is not the Messiah. We've been spoofed. It's an imposter declaring himself to be God, and who knows who that's going to be. And that person could be alive right now, which is pretty amazing to think about. So the other side of the coin, James, as you're marching forward, is the prophetic. And cover both ends there, where you came from and where we're going to. That's awesome, and those are very exciting things. The level of detail that they're putting into the third temple, there's no bricks put up, there's no place yet for it, you know, where they can start doing it. What they're doing is they have their places and buildings that they're making the instruments that will go into the temple. So not a brick has been laid yet, but these very ornate, I mean very detailed pieces that are part of the process are just incredibly expensive. You know, several pounds of gold just on the menorah, the ornate tapestry that goes into this, just taking years and years, selecting that the time they take to select the priest that will select the red heifer has been going on for decades. And they have the priest now, the order of priests that will select that red heifer. And the olive oil that burns in the lamps has to be from a certain level of height on the olive tree. And it has to be from a certain place in Israel.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Here we are 2,000 years later. A people that have been stepped on and kicked out of their lands and dispersed. As God said they would. They'd be scattered to all nations. And they were. They're in Russia. They're in America. They're in Spain. They're everywhere. Ethiopia, everywhere. And then God to call them back. Is this incredible? 2,000 years later, it just stumps the scientists. They're like, how can a nation be born in a day? Well, because God said it would be. My mom remembers that. She remembers being in the shopping, in the supermarket, pushing a cart, and people in tears in 48. In tears, just coming down and just and announcing over the supermarket loudspeaker that Israel's is come to be. They have their independence. We live in that time. It's so exciting. So that those are things that can definitely stimulate us and make us understand that time is short. And as we're looking at this potential hubby to be or this other one, and that helps us. It doesn't determine, but it helps us. And it's something that God would have us do as we're looking at these things now, to look at things differently, to get ourselves out of the way and have the mind of Christ on these matters. Amen. A lot of good things that are happening around. It's a troubled earth, but there is a lot of light that's, you know, that his people, the children of God, are showing. Amen. So even beyond marriage and relationships, verse 30 just talks about life in general. And he goes as far as saying, as they that weep, as though they wept not. So you're sorry about something, you maybe lost someone, a relative or whatever. You know, it's not going to be much time before we're on that other side anyway. You know, so those that weep, as though they weep not. They that rejoice, as though that they rejoice not. So you're happy about that new tractor. This is poor Byron, so we talk tractors. You're happy about that new bow, and you know, keep in mind, you know, don't put yourself into that. Those are blessings we thank God for, and then we pass on to somebody, you know, and that's wonderful. We're just stewards. We're sojourners. This is a foreign country in a sense, even though it's our homeland. We're citizens of heaven. That's our truest identity. Then underneath that, we're Americans, and underneath that, we're, you know, Port Byron citizens or whatever. That's how it works. Amen. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Keep your stakes light, your investment in this world light, your investment in heaven heavy. You know, that's our orientation, is to invest in heaven. And someone read about that, about the household of God this morning, that our investment should be there. Amen. Verse 32, he continues, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belongs to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So he's going to give another angle to think about. He talked about time being short is one thing. Now he's going to give something else, some food for thought here in regards to entering into a relationship, a marriage. And he's going to talk about all the cares that come with that, which is true. And he's saying, I would have you, my heart would be that you wouldn't have all those things, all these ties. And that you could just completely serve the Lord as I am, as Paul the Apostle is. That's just where he would want them to be. So it's a good way to look at it. Because we know it's very, very powerful, the pull and draw, when old Blue Eyes looks at you over here. And she did one day, and she knocked me right out. It was a strike. All the pins fell down. Okay? And that's our Bible verse that we share with each other, is Solomon 409. Song SOS 409. Song of Solomon 409. And that one look, man, gone. So very powerful, this command that God gave, this directive that he gave, be fruitful and multiply. And he gave that to all the creatures, the creeping and the crawling and the four-hoofed creatures that are just entering into the rut right now. And they're starting to move around more. They're not into the full rut. But it's a powerful thing. When they're in full rut, man, that's when you bang on, they run into your cars. They don't even care. They don't look twice before crossing the road. They'll just jump over your car to get at that doe. So be careful this next coming week. The rut has started. And keep your eyes not only on the road, but, you know, what's happening. They're moving. They're starting to move a lot. And I know the guys that work at the fender benders, like, hey, business will be start picking up now because people are smacking them. Yeah, that's a powerful thing, though. And it comes from the directive of God. He's put that in us. And somebody was saying the other day, you know, what if we didn't have these appetites? We don't have that. What would life be like? And probably life wouldn't be. If God didn't say be fruitful and multiply, he was setting the engine. He was, you know, with his word was the ripcord of the engine. And the engine's been running ever since. You know, that the whole earth has been perpetuating in that way. All the cycles that God has put in place and in motion is pretty awesome. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. So we do need some maybe things from the other side of the fence to think about as we're dealing with this powerful agency of I want to be married, which are good things, but we also need to have the mind of Christ in this and to entertain this other wisdom that is being put at us. And that's all the things that come with that, with a relationship, all the cares that come with that. I would have you without carefulness, that's all those cares. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And he's going to talk about the guy and the gal here, and he's going to say it in different ways I thought was interesting. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world and how he may please his wife. And that's very true. And that should be the case, by the way. Just being born again and going on with the Lord doesn't mean you abandon the wife and you're, you know, and vice versa. And then and hubby is home is like wondering where the wife is all the time. And I'm at church again and all this stuff. And there should be a good communication. There should be investment in the marriage and that is healthy and holy. And that's what he's bringing up there to consider that before going in. Because that is going to be part of your life now, is investing in that other person, which is a healthy and holy thing. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. Now he's going to talk about the other side. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. I thought that was interesting how he contrasted the two there. The unmarried man cares how he may please the Lord, how his work, what he does may please the Lord. Now with a woman is how she may please the Lord both in body and in spirit. Interesting. We are very different. Guys are very work oriented. You know, we did this, we built this, we did this, we you know, that kind of thing. We're very work oriented. How we please the Lord and we started this ministry, opened this door, you know, and praise God. And the woman more kind of like thinking about Mary at the feet of Jesus here, just ministering to the Lord, just fully engaged, your body, her spirit, right there in the presence of God. Quite often I see a woman's calling, a more intimate way, a higher calling because of that. The guys being more work, kind of like the oxes, kind of the more work-oriented. Amen. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. A woman is very busy with those kind of things, especially when family is involved. Okay, now we got to feed the family. We got to take care of the child that's up sick and crying, teething, got croup, and the list goes on. So these are the things that we consider. In this I speak for your own profit. Here's the key right here. Not that I may cast a snare upon you. He's not just, oh, there's a verse and I'm caught in a trap. I can't get married or I have to get married and that kind of thing. But for that which is comely, what is right, what's beautiful in your walk with God and your time down here, that it's best invested in heaven. That you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaves himself uncomely towards his virgin, this is in a case somebody became a believer and now, you know, just he's engaged. If she passes the flower of her age, you know, she's expecting to be married and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sins not, let them marry. You can imagine he had all sorts of scenarios and situations that were written to Paul. You have all sorts of things going on. And I hope what is overriding here is that we do get out of the way and we don't make assumptions. We don't follow the crowd. We don't jump to conclusions. But we just wait a minute. We don't change everything. We really get that soundness of mind. And the fruits of the Spirit were read this morning, that love, joy, peace, and patience. Self-control. You don't have to do something. Well, I have to do it. You are given a spirit called self-control, the spirit of love. It's a powerful agency now in your life. So there isn't a have to here. There's freedom here. And there's things to consider in this. Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then that he that gives her in marriage does well, but he that gives her not in marriage does better. Again, Paul coming from a standpoint here, coming against that powerful agency of the physical, the power that's in all of us, to really consider these things and think them through. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will only in the Lord. That's important, to be equally yoked. And there's another verse about being equally yoked if you want to do a study on that, to tie those together, verse 39, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Amen. I think you did too, because God permitted it to be in the Word of God. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we begin a new chapter. We'll see, make a few entries into this. We got a little time. Yeah. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. We've learned things. We've learned things from the Bible. We've heard things. Knowledge puffs up. That's the thing we need to know about knowledge. And maybe one of the first things that we should know about knowledge is that knowledge puffs up. And knowledge should come with a warning sticker around it, that this could puff you up, heavy knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So there's the contrast. It isn't by teaching that you have the transformation and become like the Son. You don't become like Jesus Christ. From teaching to teaching to teaching, then all of a sudden you're transformed. Paul, it was the 45th Sunday that I attended church that I finally became transformed in the image of his Son. It isn't through knowledge. So the impartation of the Holy Spirit is through his love, Romans 5:5. It's through the love of God shed abroad in your heart, that you're transformed into the image of God who is love. What's happening right here? Well, what are we doing here? Listen, you flabber off, Paul. We're investing in the truth, which produces faith, which is the root. The root produces the shoot, which produces, puts you into a place of bearing fruit. So these are all key components, of course. The truth is very essential. It's root development. I could preach till my veins pop out of my skull, though, to tell you to love somebody. It's not going to happen. You know, I could bang on this table like I do sometimes. Get out there and love. Get out there and love, and maybe you feel it. You feel stirred a little bit. I can work in the emotions a little bit. I can play in there a little bit. Then it fizzes out because it ain't real. The only thing that's real, and it's going to cause you to lay your life down, to love your enemies, those that curse you and persecute you and tell you to get off the school bus, move your seat, is the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. The greatest gift to man is in tongues, it is in prophecy, it is the Holy Spirit, which brings all those other wonderful things. Amen. So the puffer fish, there it is, that word puff again. Being puffed up. You can see him. He's back by the sink there. If you get a coffee this morning or a tea, you can look above the sink there and you can see our mascot for pride and fear is the puffer fish. And he swells up when there's a situation or he wants to defend himself. It's a fear reaction. And one of those things is knowledge. And under that is many items that we react to in fear. It's a good study. The elevation of education. The elevation of education. We exist in a country now, and you're dealing with it, James, at school, that man has become so foolish. He's elevated his knowledge so far above to say, there ain't no God. This is how it happened. Their heads are so filled, and God says, man, those guys are really dumb. That's the one time, you know, that God calls people fools. No matter how smart they are, how educated they're absolutely stupid. To be puffed up to that place, to be able to say that there is no God, is an absolutely place of stupidity. Those are strong words, but I'm just in line with what God is saying. Those are fools. That's a harsh word. It really is. Biblically, that's a harsh word. We're not to call that each other in the assembly, by the way. You're in danger of hell's fire calling a brother a fool, you know. But we know those that have rejected God are called that. Ultimately, they will play the fool forever. They will have a godless eternity in complete darkness. That's scary. So what character do you think in the ocean? Well, we got the puffer fish who represents fear. It's like, no, what are we going to do? The puffer fish who represents fear. What creature in the ocean would represent love? What do you guys think? Dolphin? A dolphin helps fishermen? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, there's gentleness. That's an aspect of love. Okay. There's a gentleness. All right. Kindness or helpers. Okay. Awesome. Any other creatures? All right, I'm going to call on you guys. I'm not going to wait for you to answer. I'm going to go. Don't call me. Upper fish. Just kidding. Another creature. What do you think?
Seal.
A seal. What that makes you think about? Seal representing love.
Just the way they are as far as tortoise, they're not aggressive or
probably not gonna eat your leg. Most likely, if you're gonna choose a shark or a seal. Nobody said shark yet, Tom.
Shark, tough love.
Tough love. Yeah. Anything else coming to mind?
Maybe whales.
Like, whales.
And they're shark whales, but shark whales, they don't do that much. Like, there's been videos that shark whales, they don't eat people. They usually eat small fish, which is surprising because it's so big.
Yeah, their tongue is actually the size of, their heart's the size of a Volkswagen. The blue whale, is, and their tongue is the size of, I think a full-size van or something. It's just multiple tons. And they eat plankton, which is smaller than you can pretty much, you can't even see hardly. You know, just tiny shrimp. The VW bug, you guys know what the VW bug is? Imagine a heart that size. That's incredible. Just beating in here, having that heart in here would be like, it'd be too much noise. And yeah, meekness. Okay. So meekness, he has the power, much more power than a shark. I mean, he could absolutely destroy things. This is huge. With that kind of tongue, just laying that tongue on you would just kill somebody.
Oh, yeah.
So that meekness, I mean, has that power when it's restrained and just chooses to eat something small like that.
The power, too. Love has the power to overcome everything.
Amen. They do. And actually, the whale was my choice, actually, personally, so I'm glad you picked it. They do communicate during the mating season. They have love songs. The guy will sing in low songs to the gal, the cow, and it, you know, do the Jim Neighbors deep voice and start for whatever. Bing Crosby, I don't know, whatever.
I have a question.
Question?
What was the one that when they mate, they kind of get, they absorb into...
Whoa, good.
fish.
It's the angler fish. Yeah. It's, you know, the fish that has the little squiggly thing? And that's how it gets its food. Or it has a lamp. That's another type of angler fish, a light. That's a very strange fish to begin with. Just really awesome. It makes me just praise God for his awesome creatures. But yeah, what she's sharing about is when they mate, actually, the male completely surrenders his life. He loses his life. And it's like, wow, I've heard that somewhere before. You know, she's bigger, and he's about a third the size, and he comes up under her, and he just becomes attached to her and is absorbed into her. And he just dissolves into her. He's gone. Guys, that's how we're supposed to be. That's the husband. If you don't understand, look at the cross. That's another example. But the guy is supposed to lay his life down for the wife. Amen. That's exciting. That's romantic. You know, the guy would live that way for his wife, to lay his life down. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. All right, good communication. Let's finish up, though. See where we're at here. And if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yet, as he ought to know. Every verses like that always makes me think of a very respected theologian. I always forget his name. But he's from the past. And at the end of his life, he was asked, you know, to say something profound. You know, think of those last things that you're going to say are going to be the, just as Jesus did, you know, prayed something very powerful, unity for the brethren. But we're going to say that, you know, what's that last thing they're going to say? What's the last thing they said? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he launched off. He had come to that place of knowing, we think that's humorous and, oh, that's cute. No, man, that's profound. That's profound that Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. He's given me the decree. He's given me the vow. His very word that he holds above himself even. He holds himself accountable to his word. Nothing above that. And he would declare that, Paul, I love you. Roger, I love you. Christy, I love you. That Jesus would declare that. There is power in that to be transformed, to be changed. There is such great power in the love of God to conquer any kind of evil shared today from Romans 12. Not to be overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good. And that doesn't come from anger. That comes from a heart that has got the power of the Holy Spirit shedding abroad. It's like a factory. We are simply bearers of his fruit. We are branches on the vine. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your love. The context of this chapter is going to go into about the issues that come about from knowledge and how we can start judging each other and causing each other to stumble. We'll deal with some of the things that are more appropriate for today, that we run into next week. Well, how love conquers them all, that's going to be the bottom line. God help us if it's all about getting our light brighter in knowledge. And oh, I got more knowledge. I know more, and I got all this brilliance and brightness, and I never go anywhere. I just sit there bright. I'm just puffed up. That illumination is to cause me to see the path of righteousness, to see the more excellent way that God would have me to go, to see that blood trail that he bled, that work that he prepared for me to walk in is a blood trail. It's a trail of grace. On it, I'm going to have fellowship with Jesus. I'm going to be walking with my Savior. My feet covered in his blood, my head covered in his blood. I'm going to understand what it means to love your enemies, not as a command, but as an opportunity to live in life and to have that abundant life. I look forward to next Sunday. I look forward to the fellowship times that we have here. The guys' study on Wednesday was just fantastic. It was deep, it was real, it was rich. God was moving. A prayer meeting last night, we had the 10 people, I like to call them, just wonderful people that showed up last night. And that just had a whole different dynamic. And the revelation of God was very clear and abundant. I look forward to Sundays as we get together and people share. I so look forward to that. What did God do in his people this week? What's God doing? I so long to hear that. More than I do preaching and sharing and teaching, that's not what I get excited about anymore. It's hearing what God is really doing in his bride. I understand the importance of this and the development of our faith in sinking deep roots so we don't get knocked over. We're like a tree that's planted by the water with deep roots, taking in that water of his word. I understand that. But how do I, man, do I look forward to seeing how God is using people, how he's interacting with his bride? Thank you, Jesus. We pray for those people that aren't here with us today, Lord God. Patty, Lord God, bless her. Josh, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, that he brought someone out. I don't know if it was the youth group or to the school meeting this week, making steps of faith there. Pray for Mitty and Mandy. Yeah, they're going to see Patrick stand up in front of people and worship for his first time, 14 years old, doing solo. Thank you, Jesus, for that, Lord God, and how he's becoming part of the youth group. And thank you for we could go on for hours thanking you, Lord God, for the amazing things. So exciting, Lord God. It's okay. The Lord would have you know this morning that it's okay to stare at the wall for an hour and completely be numb. I don't know why I just said that. But don't feel condemned because you go through lows and you go through valleys. That's part of the experience. If someone is sensing that, someone has been struggling with that perhaps today, even this morning. Why don't I feel the challenge of the summons? Why is my soul disquieted with me? That's okay. It's okay to go through those times. It's not okay to stay there. Be holding on to God to get through those times. We're not to dwell in those lands. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for being our deliverer. Thank you, Lord God, for the things that you're going to do today, Lord God, the paths that you've cleared for us in this wildly world that we live in. We pray for power over James now, Lord Jesus, as he enters into this school week coming up. Roger, as he drives a school bus, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for those opportunities. Maddie and Mindy as they go out. Gretchen as she's at Good News Club. We thank you, Lord God, for these inroads, these open doors, Lord God. We don't take them for granted for a minute or let our guard down. We know that these things need to be bathed in prayer. There's battles in the heavenlies. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that Satan is falling. His days are numbered. We thank you, Lord God, that that third temple is coming underway, that your will is being done and the prophecy is coming to pass. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are eyed. Through it all, it is well.
Through it all.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Love.